You're about to enter the world of Strawberry Ice and the Ice Cave. Let's go! What's going on? Welcome to the show. This is Sports with Strawberry Ice. I'm your host, Jeff Trunopole. And as always, I bring you sports from a West Side point of view right here in the great city of Cincinnati, Ohio, home of New Stripes and Houdet Nation. Now, do me a favor. If you found the show, hit that like and subscribe button. Smash that thumbs up. I'm up to 1,121 subscribers. That is awesome. Let's keep it rolling. Let's try to get to 5,000 and 10,000 and just keep it rolling. Now, this show and every show is brought to you by T Properties. T Properties, quality housing for quality people. Check out their website at www.tpropertiesllc.com for all your rental property management needs and your rental needs. All right, guys, we're getting closer and closer and closer to the jungle to the hall. It's a rally where Bengals fans are going to get their voices heard of what an injustice it has been that Ken Rowley and Ken Anderson are not in the Hall of Fame. And I figured, you know, what better person to have on the show than to talk about Ken Rowley is Ken Rowley the second. Ken, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, Jeff. Great. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
No problem. No problem at all. I'm glad you came on. Like we were talking before the show, is kind of short notice, but I'm glad you jumped on. I really appreciate it. So I know you're not going to go to the Jungle of the Hall because you and your family have told your dad before he passed away that you're not going to the Hall of Fame until he gets there, but you'll be there virtually. But there's a ton of people that are going to be there. I know Anthony Munoz, I think, is going to be there. Jimmy told me. Willie Anderson. Didn't you say Mel Blunt's doing a video or something for your dad?
Yeah, he's going to film something, and he's going to do a video talking about their relationship and why he believes he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. So Mel's a great guy, and I really respect him. You know, they had some rivalries back in the day, so it's a privilege and an honor for him to do that for us.
Yeah, that's really cool. So, I mean, Jim's got a lot of people. He's got a lot of national media, I think, is going to be up there. So we're trying to get this out there as much as we can. So if you guys haven't registered yet, I please recommend that you register, because I'm going and I'm pushing my vacation back to go. So if I can do that, you guys can do that. So here's the dates. It's June 19th. The biggest, the most important part to be there, if you can't make it for all of it, if you can be there between 1 and 3 p.m., that's the rally. That's when we need everybody to show up. And Jim needs you to register. So he's got it on his Facebook page. He's got it on his Twitter. Go there, register, and let's get the Kens in the Hall of Fame. It's about time. It's ridiculous. Your dad is still fifth all time. Woodson, he's going to the Hall of Fame this year. He probably wasn't even born when your dad retired.
Yeah, it was pretty close to it, though. Yeah, it's like I said, at the time of his retirement, he was fourth. And then now he's tied with Wilson for fifth place. So he's stood the test of time. I mean, you think about it, 65 interceptions, that's a lot.
That's a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, 65 interceptions, 5 defensive touchdowns, eight multiple interception games. He picked off Joe Namath 3 times in 76. I love that. I think that's awesome right there. 3-time All-Pro. And now this is another interesting one. He's just one of 26 cornerbacks to play in over 200 career NFL games. I mean, if those aren't Hall of Fame stats, then I don't know what is.
And this goes a testament to his durability. He was blessed to, stay healthy and just consistent. And a lot of those guys that, you know, on the top 10 list, either were corner or either safeties or they transitioned to corners later on in the year, you know, just like Charles Woodson did, Rob mm-hmm. Woodson did. So he stayed on that corner for all 15 years. So that says a lot. And in his last 2 years, you know, he led the conference in interceptions. So he stayed consistent for a long time. So,
yeah. And that, to me, that's another reason why he should be in the Hall of Fame. He never moved. He was always a cornerback. Now, we talked about this when you were on the show before, that your dad played quarterback in college. And I really think that, and I think you said this too, that helped him be a better cornerback because he saw it from the other side of the field.
Yes, I definitely believe that was a benefit for him. I mean, he was just so athletic, but he had the smart. You know, he was very knowledgeable of the game, student of the game, but playing that quarterback through high school and college, he definitely knew what the quarterback was looking for, the reads. And so I think that benefited him when he transitioned to corner. But like you said, too, to never play defense and then go and switch and play at the highest level for so long, that's just unbelievable. I just still can't, you know, I think about it like, okay.
Right.
All the way through high school, college, never played defense. And then all of a sudden you go to the highest level. And then this transition and able to, you know, have that amount of success is just unbelievable.
Yeah, I think I heard a story one time that I guess the first couple of days of practice or whatever, he was in the quarterback huddle or whatever. And then Paul Brown came over to him and told him, you go over there. And he won it was quarterbacks. Yeah. And that was it. Yeah. And then he never left. And, you know, that just comes to, like I said, your dad was a very smart man. I mean, he was a Rhodes Scholar or almost a Rhodes Scholar, I should say.
Yeah.
He was athletic director at his alma mater. He was the head coach. So the brains had to help, you know, to be able to figure out the angles and everything. I mean, that had to help him a lot.
Yes. Like I said, I really believe so. And like I said, coming out, him and Greg Cook, who he said to this day was like, one of the best quarterbacks ever. And then who knows what would have happened if he would have stayed healthy. So he felt that other than Greg Cook, he was the best quarterback in camp. But,
right.
That's that competitiveness
right.
that he had. And he just was able to make that transition.
Yeah, I mean, all great athletes to get to that level, you got to have that confidence. I mean, I say that about Jackpot Joey all the time. I said, you know, I think his is different. There's difference between confidence and cockiness, you know?
Yeah.
If you're confident, you ain't got to be cocky. You know, your game will dictate, you know, how you play. And I think that's what your dad was. Your dad was a quiet guy. I don't know of him ever talking trash or anything like that, but he didn't have to. And the coolest thing on the video I did at the beginning, I always love I always say this, where they're outlawed now, but the tackles your dad would do, he would always undercut the wide receiver's legs and drop them right on their head. I mean, I know it's for safety and everything, but those hits get me hyped up every time I see that.
Oh yeah, he definitely made him think twice about, you know, going up high for a ball. And like you said, he was very he was mild mannered, but he was competitive, and he was confident in what he did because he put in the work to be confident, and that that his work ethic was second to none. I can just remember growing up and, you know, the training that he did at the time, you know, watching him and seeing him, you know, go through that training, it didn't really mean that much. I just thought that, you know, that's something that he did. But then actually, like I said, when I started playing and realized, like, man, the things that he would do, and to do it, you know, till he was 36, it's like I said, that's just, like I said, he was competitive. He was always prepared, and he was the complete package. So
to do it until you're 36 to play cornerback in the NFL and do it at a high level. It wasn't like he retired and he was, you know, limping out of the NFL. He was still playing very, very well. I mean, we got the back in the 70s, we had him and the I call him the dynamic duo, and I think you actually tweeted a picture of him and Lamar Parrish, who's another one who should be in the Hall of Fame eventually. we got a list of lots of Bengals that should be in the Hall of Fame. Lamar Parrish and your dad in that secondary, that had to be one of the best secondaries in football at that time.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate they don't get the credit they deserve. Like you said, Lamar was one heck of a returner. I mean, you know, he returned a kick, a punt for a touchdown, and an interception for a touchdown in the same game. I think both of them over like 70 yards. But he was a, you know, he was flashy. He was a sight to see when you kicked that ball to him. And then, like I said, they made a great duo. And, you know, 1-2 punch. And it's unfortunate that they don't get the credit they deserve. But both of them well-deserving to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Exactly. Well, one thing for sure, they definitely both will be in the new Bengals Ring of Honor. And I am ecstatic about the Ring of Honor. I'm so happy that the Bengals have finally done that, because we finally stopped talking about what if the Bengals had a Ring of Honor and who would you put in. Now we can actually talk about who you would put in, because we're going to have one. And I know some fans are a little upset because they're all letting season ticket holders do it. But I brought it up that, you know, well, maybe next year they'll bring it out to the public. But then somebody I had on here was like, well, if you do that, then you might have some squealers or some clowns or some rat birds or some of those fans coming and vote. So that might be why they did it that way. I don't know. Either way, I'm not complaining. I'm happy we get to do it. I can't wait until, because I'll be shocked if your dad and Ken Anderson are not the first, you know, inducted. Well, the first two is Anthony Munoz and Paul Brown, but they're not the next two. I will be absolutely shocked.
Like I said, I never know. It's the same thing with the Hall of Fame. I know there's a lot of well-deserving former Bengals, and I'm just excited now that, you know, like I said, I think Cincinnati is doing a great job of, you know, they're rallying around the fans, and now we starting with the Ring of Honor, which is great. So it's just exciting time for Cincinnati Bengals and the Hootay Nation. So I'm just looking forward to it. Looking forward to the season as well.
Exactly. I got a question. Clemson dominates, which I don't know if that's true or not, but Clemson dominates tweeted this out to me. And he said the Bengals only issued the number 13 to a punter in 2000. And he said, I think it was Daniel Pope for 16 games. 13 should be retired over 30 years ago. I want to ask you, what would it mean to your family if they retire 13 like they should?
Well, I think – I don't think he played 16 games. I think I remember that. I think that the punter, he did it in preseason. Because when my father retired, Coach Paul Brown told him that nobody would ever wear number 13 again. So, unofficially, it's retired, but officially it's never been retired. I know Johnson, the first draft pick, his is the only one that's officially retired. So, I mean
– right.
It would mean a lot, but at the same time, you know, like I said, they pretty much honored it, and nobody's haven't worn it. So,
it's technically retired. It's just not hung up. But I mean, that's one thing. When he asked that question, I started racking my brain, going, "Yeah, I don't remember anybody ever wearing 13 after your dad." I mean, he's the only one. So, I mean, it's retired, not hanging up on the wall, but his name's going to be up there. So that could be just as good as
we definitely appreciate it. Like I said, it's been an honor for Coach Paul Brown to even tell him that. And then Mr. Brown's continuing on, Mike Brown continuing on with that. So like I say, it's unofficially But, you know, it's still a great honor as well. So I really appreciate, like I said, all of the support that the fans and the Bengals themselves has always shown my father. So
now I have a question. I'm speaking it into existence. I know you're okay. We'll see what happens when your dad gets into the Hall of Fame and when your dad gets into the Ring of Honor, which Ring of Honor is obviously going to happen first. Are you good at, you know, speech writing or, you know, speaking in public? Because would you be the one doing it, or would your sisters or your mom, or have you guys even thought about that?
It will probably be me. My dad was a great speaker. And the great thing about it, I would have so much time to do it. And I have a lot of great writers, so I could probably have them help me write it. And it would definitely be an honor for me to do that. It would have been a long time coming. That's something that I, unfortunately, like I said, he won't be here to see it, but it would definitely be a dream of mine to do that.
Yeah, that's exactly why we have to make this happen sooner than later, because Ken Anderson is, I think, the oldest living Bengal from the 81 team. So we don't want another Bengal to pass away that should be in the Hall of Fame, and they put him in after he is gone. So that's why this is very important for Bengals fans to show up to this thing and show our support. And like I said, show everybody that, you know, we love our Bengals, you know?
Yes.
The Bengals get a lot of, you know, say this is not a good organization and yada, yada, yada. We haven't won anything, but we still love our Bengals, and we're going to have a good team this year. I don't know about you. Have you been following the Bengals at all, Kenny? Because we're going to have an awesome year this year, I think.
I believe so. Of course, I follow them. And like I said, I love the excitement right now. I love the energy. I know that everybody starts off 0-0 and all the other fans think that they're going to do something. But I really believe that we have the right quarterback in place, the organization, the coaches. And I really like the way everything is trending. And just hopefully everybody can stay healthy. And I do believe that, like I said, everything's heading in the right direction. So I'm definitely excited. I've always been, you know, follow them and continue to follow them and support them. And, you know, even though I'm in Texas.
Was that? You don't have to worry about the Ohio winners like we do that way. You're down in Texas.
Right, exactly. Well,
the Bengals did sign a player today. They got Kayvon Frazier. I hope I'm saying his name right. Kayvon Frazier, he's a safety. I got him here pictured with the Cowboys, but he was with the Dolphins last year. He was a six-round pick, he's a six-year NFL player out of the University of Central Michigan. He was drafted by the Dallas Cowboys in 2016, played there 16 to 19, played with Miami last year. He played 59 total games, two starts. He's got 71 tackles, one sack. So I like that. They're adding depth to the team. That's where I think they've got the starters in place. I mean, Jackpot Joey, he's on the field playing not game one, practice one, he was on the field. So that's exciting.
It really is.
And the cool thing, Ken, is every single player showed up for voluntary workout. I almost guarantee, I don't know the numbers for sure, but I can almost guarantee you the Bengals are one of the only teams to have that everybody showed up.
I believe that, you know, that's rare there. And I just go to show about the organization and the oneness, you know, everybody's excited, and that's great to see. And like you said, you can never have enough depth, especially in the corner, in the secondary. So it's exciting times right now. I'm excited. I wish this season can't get here soon enough.
I know, dude. I got season tickets. I'm so ready to go. I can't wait. Sure. And like you said, whenever they do the Ring of Honor and induct, like I said, I'm speaking to existence, induct your dad and Ken Anderson, I'm going to be there. So you look over to the south end zone on section 158, you see a guy with orange bright hair and sunglasses and this jersey, it'll be me. I'm like, oh!
That sounds great. You know, you'll know if I'm there. Like I said, we'll definitely hook up at some point.
Oh, heck yeah. It'll be fun. Well, I'll see you virtually. I'll see you virtually here in about a month from more up in Canton. So
yes, sir.
We would definitely meet in person. That is going to happen. Now, the other cool thing that's going on is, like I said, we got the Ring of Honor, and the thing with the Bengals, the narrative I like to get out there is how they seem, or not seem, but they are listening to the fans more than they ever have before. I think that has a lot to do with Elizabeth Blackburn, since she's taken over the social media aspect and stuff like that. Bengals Twitter, I mean, Bengals Twitter is blowing up. I mean, you got guys like me, you got Ace and Zim on there, you got Captain Obvious, you got Hube, Bengalorian. I mean, you got the Orange Arrow, all these guys on Twitter, and we're all hyping the Bengals up, and we're all in this trying to fight the narrative about how bad this organization is run. And to me, that just gets the more excitement in the city with that going on, and plus what the team is doing, and then we get to vote for a Ring of Honor, and we're working on trying to get your dad and Kenny Anderson into the Hall of Fame, and it's just a big momentum push. That's why I really think, with everybody showing up for practice and Joe Burrow being there day one, we're going to surprise some people. I really do think we're going to.
I agree. You know, Mrs. Blackburn, she's doing a great job. Like you said, she's getting the fans involved. They're doing a lot of great things, not only with the new uniform this year, as well as the Ring of Honor. And like I said, you guys, you know, Bingo Jim and, you know, Ace and all those guys and all these different other podcasts, you guys are doing an excellent job. You know, on Twitter alone, the presence of the Bengals fans is just awesome.
Yes.
You know, I go in there and I'm like, man, it's great. So continue to do what you're doing. I love it. I know the players love it. And we're definitely heading in the right direction.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the players, if you have any of their numbers, you can give it to me off the air. Can I call them and get them to come on my show? That'd be great. I'm just kidding. But I was going to tell you this. I literally do have orange sunglasses. That's what I wear to the game. And this is my saying. I look through orange sunglasses all the time. But this is my record. This is what I think the Bengals have a chance to do. And I know it's probably – I don't even say – I don't think it's a pipe dream. I really don't. I really do think if everything breaks right, they can go 11-6. I think they have a very good shot. And the biggest reason is because in 90% of the games, we got the best quarterback.
Right. Yeah. I agree. So it's definitely doable. I agree with you.
I mean, the thing is, like, things have to break right, yes. But things have to break right every year when you have, you know, when you have a winning season. It has to break right for you. But it's not like we're not talented enough to make it break right for us. You know, I actually think that Zach and Lou actually have the most talented team they've had in their 3 years that they've been here as a coach. So that's another reason I'm hyped up about it.
No, I agree. I think that, you know, they're doing a great job with the draft and also in free agency, bringing in players. I think they're bringing in quality depth. And like I said, all things have to fall in the right place, but that's for everybody. Even when they went to the Super Bowl in 81, you know, the year before that, they turned that season around. So it's definitely possible. So
yeah, well, that's a great point. The 2 years they went to the Super Bowl the year before, I think in 87 they were 4-11. I think, and in 88 they went to the Super Bowl. So I'm pretty sure that was the exact same record. Now in 86 they actually had a pretty good record, and they barely missed the playoffs. Right. But I mean they've done it every time they've went to the Super Bowl. They've went from worst to first. So,
exactly.
What are some memories that you have of you and your dad and growing up here in Cincinnati? What are some cool memories you have, like down there at Old Riverfront Stadium or anything like that?
Yeah, well, I know we mentioned it the last time, though. I actually lived there, so I never really lived in Cincinnati, but we would come up during the season, especially during Thanksgiving. But I remember, you know, just going to the practice before the game, and I would always be cold because it'd be November, you know, coming from Florida. You know, I'm bundled up, but, you know, just the guys, just being able to hang around those guys, the Reggie Williams, the Isaac Curtis, you know, the Ken Andersons, the Pete Johnsons, you know, Ray Alexander. I mean, I just go on and on, Jim LeClair's and, you know, Anthony Munoz. So it was always just a thrill. But at the same time, those are my dad and those are his friends. So it wasn't like a shock type thing, but it was just cool. And then now, like I said, as I grew older and kind of realized, like, man, that was an awesome childhood and opportunity that most kids don't get to experience. Cause, you know, to me, I was just my dad and his friend. So, when you start looking back at it, you're like, man, that's awesome.
Now, this thought just came to my head. I thought I read somewhere when your dad retired, did he get to the key to his home city or the city you guys lived in or something like that? And a parade?
Not when he retired, but it was right after the 81 Super Bowl. Ken Riley. And so he got the key to the city then, and they had a Ken Riley parade. It was awesome. You know, a small town in Florida. So, you know, he's kind of, you know,
he was a king, baby.
So that was awesome. Yeah, that was right after the Super Bowl.
Now, how old were you back then? Were you old enough to remember it? Because I mean, 81, I was 7. So I mean, I remember it, but not as much. I remember 88. I remember 88 a lot more.
No, I mean, I was 9. I remember it to this day, and that's one of the things about playing for 15 years. Kids grow up to be older. Because when he retired, I was 12. So you know, right. I knew the game, and he was able to play long enough. I understood everything that was going on. But, I definitely, in 81, was at the Super Bowl. Remembering that? I remember it was cold.
It's always cold every time you go to games, yeah, man.
It's always cold. It's like very cold. I remember falling on ice because it was just, you know, ice everywhere, ice and snow in Detroit. So, yeah, yep. I definitely remember those, all of those times.
Yeah, you get to go to the great city up north in Detroit, Michigan. Actually, it was in Pontiac, but still.
Pontiac Dome.
Yeah. I was up there, I don't know, 15 years ago. University of Cincinnati was playing a bowl game, I think against Toledo, and it was the Motor City Bowl. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was cool being there because I'm like, this is where we almost won a Super Bowl.
Right.
My uncle, He had season tickets that year, and he was legitimately at the Freezer Bowl, and he legitimately went up to Pontiac, and it was at the Super Bowl and everything. So he always cracks up. You know, 30 million people say they're at the Freezer Bowl. He goes, I actually was there, and I asked him a couple weeks ago. I said, you don't happen to have the ticket stubs, do you? He goes, no, we didn't keep them back then. I wish I would. I'm like, that would be cool. I'm like, dude, I'd be hanging them up right here.
that would be awesome.
So every time you come up, so have you come to Cincinnati when it's warm? Because every time you talk about it, it's cold.
I think actually the last time we were there for the 50th celebration, it was really warm then because I think that was in like August, September.
Yeah, I was right at the beginning of the year.
Was actually warm then. So
now was that at the new stadium or was that at Riverfront? I think it was at the Paul Brown, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was at Paul Brown Stadium. We've actually come up a couple times. You know, every time he would come, I would never miss it. So,
right.
Yeah, no, we've been several times. Yeah,
that's very, very cool. Very cool. So,
It is.
Did you? I know you saw it, but Ace and Zim did a documentary on your dad. And if you guys have not watched Ace and Zim's documentary on Ken Riley, Zim just tweeted it out before we came on the air. So you go to Zim's Twitter handle and you can find it. I recommend you guys go watch it. Obviously, I know you've watched it. What did you think, and how good a job did Ace and Zim do on that for you?
They did. I mean, words can't describe it. They did an excellent job. You know, the time that they put into it, you know, I was, you know, behind the scenes. They were asking me different things, but they did a great job. They're great at what they do, and I really appreciate the effort and the time that they put into it. But the end result was great. I was like, even at the end, I'm like, they're trying to make me cry now. So I know, like, you know,
dude, I was tearing up. I'm like,
yeah, but no, they did a heck of a job. That was awesome. It is awesome.
Well, the cool thing that I liked what they did is more the background of that. That's the cool thing about what we're all doing here is we all know Ken Riley, the football player, but the more we talk about him and more you come on shows like this, we hear of him as the father, the coach, you know, the athletic director, the quarterback. You know, different aspects to his life. And like I said, your dad, I the more I've read about your dad and talking to you guys and stuff, I would have loved to meet your dad. I think your dad would have been a really cool guy to meet and just sit around and talk to you. Because Jimmy was telling me he went down there to the golf outing with you guys. Mm-hmm. Was that in Florida or Texas? I can't remember.
Is it in Florida? Because it's right outside from where we were from.
Yeah. And he was saying he sat down with your yeah. And he said he sat down with your mom, and he said your mom was the nicest person, just kept telling stories and having a good old time. And I believe this too, but Jim said you guys got a great family, and I totally believe it. And I think that has a lot to do with the character of your father and your mother of, you know, bringing up and being hardworking people and just awesome people. And people like that, I think, deserve to be recognized. And that's where I really think, I've said it before, we got to get you in the Hall of Fame.
I appreciate the kind words. Yeah, I was totally blessed with a father and a mother that could, you know, that were my heroes and sheroes that I didn't have to look outside other than, mm-hmm. you know, inside of my home. So it's definitely a blessing. And, you know, I really appreciate and realize that the blessing that I have. But yeah, he was a great guy. He was quiet, but like I said, very competitive. Little known fact, I think he was more of a cowboy than most people know, because he actually owned cows and we had cows and all that.
Yeah.
So he loved animals, loved outdoors, loved the fish. So he was.
Yeah, he's a country boy. Country boy down in Florida. My wife is from Florida, and mm-hmm. she grew up in St. Petersburg. And once you get outside the cities in Florida, it's country. And that's why I keep telling people, I was like, it's South. Nobody considers Florida the South. It's the South. It's as South as you can get. I mean, it is. They're country people out there. So, I mean, it's everybody sees, you know, Miami and the surfboards and all that stuff. That's only like one little city. And like, that's where all everybody goes visit. But if you go to the center of Florida, that's a whole bunch of, you know, country, that's farmlands and cattle and all kinds of stuff out there.
You got it. That's it.
So, hey, do me a favor, stand up and let's see that shirt you got on there that you're going to start selling here soon.
Yeah, and I had it on Twitter. It says the Bengals Rattler, a rare breed. And then on the back, I can't really turn around. It has all of the 65 interceptions and the quarterbacks who threw the interception. So, that's the plan to get those starting on the website.
When do you think that's going to happen? Don't have a date yet or –
I don't have a date yet. I'm just trying to figure out the logistics. I had put it out on my Twitter just to get a feel, but definitely we're going to get it on the Ken Raleigh Foundation website, and all the proceeds to go to that foundation. Like you had mentioned earlier, last year was the fourth celebrity golf tournament. This year, of course, will be the fifth. So we're really going to try to make this one a big one. And it's every first weekend in May. Down in Lakeland, Florida. So we're looking forward to that, and we're starting to plan that pretty soon again. But I always have great support from a lot of the former players, you know, a lot of Bengals players, Reggie Williams, Isaac Curtis, Lewis Breeden, Archie Griffiths has been down there. So it's a great time.
Yeah, people somewhat forget that Archie Griffiths was an actual – he played for the Bengals. remembers him for Ohio State, but he got drafted by the Bengals, and he was actually on the 81 Super Bowl team too as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So I have a question for you. Now, Bengal Jim went down there to the golf outing. Did he actually play golf, or he just sit around and drink beer and talk to your mom?
No. Again, he's dedicated, just like yourself. You move your your vacation trip so that you can go on the 19th. But right. Bengal Jim actually – drove down, but he actually called an Uber, you know, down to the location, and he came, like, he was actually there because it was right after the draft.
Right,
so I
right.
think he caught, like, a red eye from Cleveland to Tampa, and then he drove, like, called an Uber, like, which is about maybe 40 miles away to Lakeland, where we were, just to come and just say hi. So what time he got there, we were, like, almost wrapping up, but so that just goes to show his dedication, so... much respect and love to Bingo Jim, just like yourself, for, like I said, all the dedication.
So yeah, that's cool. I'll have to try to see if I can talk my wife into letting me like I tell her, like, look, you go to Tampa and hang out with your family. I'm gonna go play golf with Ken Raleigh and some Bengal players.
it's a good time, man.
Well, for sure. When that comes around next year, definitely hit me up so I can put that out there, tell everybody the dates and times and all that stuff. And when the shirt comes out, for sure. Same thing, because all the proceeds go to the I'm gonna say the Ken Raleigh, is it the Ken Raleigh Foundation? That's what
the Ken Raleigh Foundation. Uh huh. Yeah.
And what is that foundation going to? What are you guys trying to accomplish with that?
Well, he was big in the community. He was big with always giving back, and so especially to the kids. So with the Ken Raleigh Foundation, proceeds goes to help kids who want to continue on to higher education. A lot of vocational. But so
Oh, so he does vocational school?
No, I'm saying to someone that's trying to go to vocational school or any type of higher education learning, we help support them in that.
No, that's great for vocational kids, vocational school kids, because not everybody, college isn't for everybody, but you need to learn a skill of some kind that people pay you for and you can make a living at. So yeah, I'm always big on vocational schools. I mean, I'm not against college, but just college isn't always for everybody. You know, there's certain people that, you know, turn wrenches, and there's certain people that, you know, type on computers. It's just the way God made you. It's just different for everybody. And I think that's great that you're doing the college and the vocational school. That's you don't see too many charities diversify like that.
Yeah. So that was his thing. He was like you just hit the head on the nail. Like, not everybody, you know, may go to college. And,
right.
You know, vocational, you know, you learn a skill, you can go out and still be productive and earn a great living, you know?
Yeah.
So that was his main thing.
Yeah. And some people enjoy that. They like being busy and work with their hands and stuff like that. So that's a good thing. I really think that's cool that you guys do that. Let's get back to the Bengals of today. And like I said, the cool thing is that everybody showed up to the first day of practice, and the first lineman out there was Riley Reiff. He was the first one out there stretching. And I think that's just a statement in itself. One, he's a veteran. He's probably the oldest guy on the line. He's new, and he's coming out early. And that's the character that Zach Taylor has been trying to get into this team. I mean, it's a character of the Super Bowl teams we had. You know, the 81 team, you had a great bunch of guys on that team, high character guys, you know. Like I said, your dad, he's, you know, wanted to be an athletic director and everything. That's what I think we have here, because last year Zach drafted a ton of guys who are captains on their team. And it's more of they got to be good football players, but you got to have the character, and that also meshes with the winning. You know, they all want to work hard and know what it takes to get to where they want to go, and that's winning. And I just, you know, working hard, winning, all this stuff, I just can't get enough of this. I get so excited about it, because that's what winning teams do. That's what Tom Brady has done for freaking 20 years.
Hey, that's when your best player is setting the tone and out there first, that sends a message to the entire team. And like I said, that's a post-pro, and that's something that you look forward to. So he's setting the tone for the linemen and the rest of the team. Like I said, he's been there, but I'm the first one out. So like I said, that really sets the tone, and you need that too. You know, you teach some of the younger guys of how to be a professional. And this is, you know, a job, and you take it serious. And that's great. I agree 100%.
Yeah, like I said, again, it goes back. We're talking about your dad a lot, but I have you on the show to talk about your dad a lot. But it goes back to what you said your dad did in the offseason and stuff, and working out and getting ready and prepared for the season. If you had the older guys on the team that are willing to do that, then the younger guys going, well, if he's doing it, then I definitely have to do it, you know, because that just rubs off on people.
It sure does. That sets the tone. And you're only good as your weakest link. So if everybody's doing that, and like I said, if your number one guy is there, like I said, look at Joe, he's there first day of practice. He's out there throwing, you know, so that's setting the tone. Like, if he can be out there out of anybody, then, you know, number 53, third player needs to be out there. So,
Everybody who had an excuse not to be out there, Joe Burrow would have had it, you know.
Right.
He ripped his knee, you know. So, I mean, James Chapin was saying when the first day he was watching Burrow, and he noticed he came out and he got on the bike and started, you know, pedaling the bike or whatever. He goes, okay, maybe that's all he's going to do. But then Joe put his helmet on. James was like, well, why did you put your helmet on while you're riding a bike? Well, I think Joe was so excited to get out there. He's like, let's go.
Right. You know? Exactly.
So that's got to be – he's got to be chomping at the bit to play.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, like I said, it's something you love and it's taken away from you. And I'm sure he's ready to go back out there. And it probably takes some adjustment just, you know, to mentally get over, you know, trust in that knee. But he's well on pace, and we believe in Joe. So hopefully, like I said, we just take this and just to be the start of something very special.
Yeah. Now I have to show you this. Now I know my co-host, which you haven't met, Jeremy, but both times that you've been on the show, he's been unable to get on the show, but he's a huge Bengal fan too. And he's come up with a nickname for Tyler Shelvin. And you know, back in the 90s, we had Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson, and he played the same position at Tyler Shelvin. And so Jeremy has decided that we're going to call him Big Daddy Bayou.
Oh, love it. Yeah. Love it. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah.
I can't wait to see him and DJ Reader and Ogunjobi in the game. That you get two of those guys in there, dude, it's gonna be hard to run on the Bengals. I think it's gonna take
up a lot of space for sure.
And they can move too. I mean, they're big guys, but they can move. So I mean, not only stop the run, but they can get after the quarterback as well.
That's awesome.
So I have to show you that. I think I showed you. Did I show you that? That's who I voted for. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Gotta make sure I put that out there for everybody. And like I said, if you guys have not voted, which I don't know if you're a season ticket holder, if you haven't voted yet, I'd be surprised. But if you haven't voted yet, I want you to vote with your heart, as my dog is agreeing with me. If you vote with your heart, but if your heart is not telling you Ken Riley and Ken Anderson, then your heart's wrong. You got to vote Ken Riley and Ken Anderson. This is one of the best pitchers that I saw out of practice was Burrow to Chase. I think we're going to see this a lot this year.
So, that's awesome.
Now, were you here in Cincinnati? We had the Civil War. We had Team Chase versus Team Sewell. Which side of the war were you on, dude? Were you a part of it at all, or were you just neutral?
I guess I was neutral, but I would go back and forth. I'm like, I know that Joe and his relationship with Chase, and then I know like a lineman. I'm not a big lineman guy, but I know it's needed. But I'm saying, as far as technique, I just heard a lot that he was one of the better linemen out there. But in the end, I'm like, can't go wrong with either one. And whoever they choose, I'm going to ride with them and support it. So I was basically neutral, and but I'm glad they got Chase.
I'm ecstatic they got Chase. I was Team Sewell until they got Reef. And once they got Reef, I'm like, all right, we got to get Chase. I really wanted Chase, but I'm like, we got to protect Joe. We got Reef. You got to protect him. Once they got him, I'm like, all right, let's go get Chase. And the thing is, there's so many offensive linemen in this draft, so it was good to a good draft to pick from offensive linemen. And I really like what they did, the trading back and getting the extra picks. I think it was I don't know. Maybe I'm overhyping it too much, but I really do think we're gonna have a really good year. Now that's another thing I put out on Facebook. I don't think I put it on Twitter, but I gotta check the voting on this. But who's gonna have a better career? We got Jackpot Joey Burrow or Trevion Lawrence.
It'll
be interesting. It'll be interesting to watch that because they are going to play Thursday night here in Cincinnati. That'll be the first game just to see how their careers go.
Right. Yeah. No, that's going to be awesome. You know, like I said, only time will tell. But a lot of it has to do with remaining healthy. It's going to be great. I'm excited.
I can't wait. Now, this is the Titus says he has some breaking news here. He says, I got Thaddeus Moss coming to my sister's house to get his hair done. Two Bengals players are going to be at my sister's house tomorrow. That if they are at your house tomorrow, then I will send you a link to get them on my show. Okay.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I've been trying like crazy to get some Bengals on here, but I can't get anybody to answer me. I don't know why. I mean, come on, I'm Strawberry Ice. I mean, come on.
Hey, I'm missing out. Eventually, once you get that one, then you'll get the ball rolling.
Yeah, I gotta get that one. Well, I actually got Dave Lapham on here. That was a really cool one. I got him on here.
Oh, yeah.
So every time I tweet out one of the Bengals, I go, look, see, Dave Lapham was on. You can come on. It was cool.
Awesome.
All right, man. Well, it's about 6:14. I think I want to let you roll on out here. But real quick, let's put this back up here to make sure we get everybody to know the date for the Jungle to the Hall right here. And just make sure you guys, if you can show up, please do show up. We need as many Bengals fans as we can get there, because we want this man right here to actually be able to walk into the Hall of Fame with his dad, because he's not going there until his dad gets in. So
yeah,
he said to his dad that he would not. It's not just you; it's your whole family, right? Everybody said they're not.
Well,
going,
no,
right?
it was just me. My sister tried to come, but it was just my thing.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
So I think that's cool. I really do. I mean, yeah, I respect that. I mean, you're not going to go there unless your dad's in, and I think that's great. I mean, I would probably do the same thing, and you know, hopefully here, you know. I mean, in the next couple of years, hopefully next year we'll get your dad in. I mean, another guy, if you look at – somebody brought this up. I think it might have been on Locked On Bengals or something like that. But Drew Pearson's getting in this year.
Yeah.
And if you look at Drew Pearson's numbers and you look at Isaac Curtis's numbers, they're damn near the same. Yeah. But Drew Pearson's getting in because he's a Dallas Cowboy. Exactly. So if he gets in, why isn't Isaac Curtis getting in? And then the Hall of Fame tweeted out that – Adam Vinatieri retires. Oh, he could be into the Hall of Fame such and such date. I said, all right, what about Jim Breach? Yeah.
Yeah.
What about Jim Breach? Yeah. I mean, he broke Jim Breach's records, you know? Right. So I guess I can keep going on, and I can make arguments for all the Bengals. So, you know, it's going to happen. We're going to start getting guys in there. It's going to be fun.
Well, again, I appreciate the support. You speaking that in existence, and hopefully one day, you know, it'll happen. But I say you, I thank you for, you know, bringing me on, and, you know, your support in the rally coming up, and, you know, everything that you do. So thanks again.
Exactly. I think my dog's telling me it's time to go. All right, Ken, as always, I appreciate you. Thanks for coming on the show. And right. Make sure you guys support Ken and his foundation. He's loud. And other than that, I'll talk to you later, Ken. Thanks for coming on, buddy.
I appreciate it, man.
All right, see you.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys, that was cool. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. And like I said, we got to try to get our voices heard to get the Kens into the Hall of Fame. It's going to happen. Like I said, I'm speaking into existence. But let me get to the Facebook groups. Is there anything else I had I want to put up here? Oh, yeah, I got some Bearcat news. That's what I want to put up. Yes. Justin Williams of The Athletic tweeted out today the kickoff times for the Bearcats. So you got Miami at 3:30, Murray State 3:30, Indiana. That one's on ESPN. He doesn't have a time on that. We're going to be on NBC versus Notre Dame at 2:30. ABC. We got a lot of nationally broadcast games this year. So, or like, see, it's ESPN, it's ABC, it's NBC, you know. So that's a good sign for the University of Cincinnati and their football team. And what I think is going to be, I think it's going to be an awesome football season for college and for pro here in Cincinnati. I think they're both going to be very good. Now, University of Cincinnati, people are like, if they don't go undefeated, is it a disappointing season? And for me, first when I think that, I'm like, yeah, it'd be a disappointing season. But if you really think about it, it's really hard to go undefeated in any college football. And then they have to go to Notre Dame and they have to go to Indiana, which both are pretty good teams. I mean, I'll put you this way. They have to go undefeated, I think, to have a shot at getting into the Final Four of college football. So if that doesn't happen, we're probably going to play in the Peach Bowl game, which Peach Bowl was fine. We should have won it. But it's still going to be a lot of fun to watch the Bearcats and what they have going on this year. And like I said, the basketball team, I think, is going to be really, really good as well. I mean, I think it's going to be a lot better than people think. Miller is getting some very good players. Now, let's get to Joe Burrow here, and Tyler Dragon tweeted this out on the odds for comeback player of the year. And if you look, Joe Burrow, they got him at, third? So, yeah, Dak Prescott first, Saquon Barkley second, and Joe Burrow, he's at 15-2 odds. Honestly, I kind of surprised that Barkley's ahead, because quarterbacks usually get the, you know, get all the money and all the praise. So if Joe Burrow does what I think he's going to do and leads us to the playoffs, I think we're going to, and we go 11-6, like I said, I think we're going to be just fine. And it's going to be a lot of fun this year down in the jungle, down in section 158. I call that the fun zone. So let's get to the Facebook groups that let me live stream. They are awesome Facebook groups. And if you're watching this on any of them, please do me a favor. Make sure you go to the YouTube channel, Sports with Strawberry Ice, and subscribe to the channel. That would be awesome. They are Hootay Nation, a great Bengals group. I mean, Ken Riley the second is a member of that group. There's other Bengal family members that are a member of the group. Cincinnati Reds, Ryan Third hanging for home. Bearcat Country, there are multiple Bearcats in that group. So it's another really cool group. The Ohio State Bucknuts, you got the Ice Bars, my show page, my personal, well, not personal, just show page. It's a virtual bar. We go there, we hang out, talk some crap, and have some fun. They follow me on all my social media platforms, all under Sports with Strawberry Ice. I'm on Facebook, Twitter. The Twitter handle is Jeff A. Trenopol. That's Trenepohl. I'm also on Instagram and TikTok. I did a lot of TikToks last night. I was kind of excited about the Bengals. So if you want to go check them out, it's at Sports Strawberry Ice. And then the handle is Iceman90. I'll be pulling off the sound later on tonight. So if you missed the interview with Ken Riley the second, you can listen to it. I know not everybody can sit here and watch me for an hour, so you can listen to me. It'll be on BeanPod, Apple, iTunes, Spotify, pretty much wherever you guys get your podcast, it'll be there. YouTubers, like I said, we're at 1,121. That is awesome. I appreciate every single one of you guys. And as always, as Jeremy D would say, if he ever gets to come back on the show, remember one thing and one thing only, and that is you don't live in Cleveland, you live in Cincinnati, so act like it. Hootay! And that's just sports, baby. See ya!